I'm Taylor Stafford, and this is Talk Taboo.
Yeah! Come on over!
We ask a lot of people if they like their asshole touched.
We really are breaking down stigmas. It's everything sex. Welcome back to Talk Taboo.
Already stumbling over my words. 3 weeks in a row, guys. This is wild. So glad that we got to do... This is going to be fun. Welcome to Talk Taboo. We are breaking down stigmas, and I'm Taylor, of course. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. What was I going to say? Gosh, I'm already a spaz. That's going to have to change. Before we jump into all the things, I would... love to acknowledge and just put out there that all of this going on with Asian hate and the shooting that has occurred, it is devastating. So many people are hurting because of it. The amount of hate that has spread is just so disheartening. I feel like it's hate after hate in this country or in this world right now, and I know a lot of people are feeling that. And you know, also with the mental health crisis, not only from, you know, before COVID and all the shit, but since the pandemic, it's been rough, which means there's gonna be a lot of escalated behavior, including violence. And I just want to say that I am sitting with everyone who identifies as Asian, or people think you're Asian, lol. I can't imagine what you're going through, but it shouldn't be happening, and no one should have to live in fear, and that kind of hate should not be allowed, tolerated, and it's really sad that... it is what it is right now. So I stand with all of you guys. Okay, so today, because we are talking about all things porn, what it's doing to our brain, my open a book is called Your Brain on Porn. I purposely titled this episode Your Brain on Porn so you remembered that book and what it was. Your Brain on Porn by Gary Wilson. It is incredible. A lot of the information that I have for this podcast was from that book. It's, you know, he's one of the leading researchers behind porn addiction and really what it's doing to the brain and all the things. So I highly recommend reading the book, whether you think you identify with a porn addiction or not. I think it's really great information to have for everybody so that we don't get into the situation of a porn addiction or porn-induced erectile dysfunction or all the things that we're going to talk about today. Okay. My healing human for today is Dr. Callie Hobson. She is a psychiatrist. She works at Seattle Children's Hospital. She also does a lot of education around psych and behavioral health on Instagram. Her Instagram is at Dr. Dr. K-A-L-I-M-D, Dr. Callie M-D. She is doing, just has a lot of great information. She did a post, I wanted to repost it on the Women Against Taboo Instagram, but it was just about like how to talk to your kids about what's going on in the world right now and just things like that, that we all need help with and we all need some guidance with. And like I said, she works at Seattle Children's, so she works with children and adolescents. So she's very familiar with that field. I think she's incredible. I'm going to do my best to persuade her to get on this podcast. So hoping that she does it. But until then, or anyways, go to her Instagram, follow her, get some good information. She is really helping educate our community. So that is so awesome. Also, the important thing too right now is, which hopefully on the podcast with Callie, we'll talk about this, but because of the mental health crisis, especially in child and adolescents in our country, but also in Washington State, we have so many limited resources right now for mental health kids, psych kids, and their families. It's terrible. And so any kind of resource, whether that be Instagram or blogs or whatever, by professionals that are in the field, I think is incredible. We need all of the help that we can get. Okay. Talking about this podcast. Okay. We need some ground rules before we start. We need some warnings before we start. We need some clarity before we get into this. I'm going to make this very clear. This is not a anti-porn podcast. With that being said, everything that comes with this super human stimuli, like super stimuli, like porn, drugs, even food, exercise, all the things, comes with a cost. And it's, you know, it's about overconsumption and what it's doing to our brain and how it's not really about your ethics and your morals. And this is not like a bash on the porn industry in itself. Does that have a lot of issues outside of porn addiction? Fuck yeah. But we're not talking about that today. I don't want people to think I'm like, oh, so anti-porn. I think most things are great in moderation. I also hate the fucking word moderation. But moderation, you know, not using it all the time, being very mindful with how you're using it, how much you're using it, all of the things. It's really about what is porn doing to our biology and our psyche and our neurology system and everything in our body. Okay, I also want to say, sexologists do not agree on porn viewpoints, effects, all of the things. Porn research has been out for a handful of years now. This is new research. It's new findings. Now, a lot of this information, at least like the neurology portion, is highly linked to other addictive processes, addictive drugs, which we're going to talk about. So it is, with the limited research that we have, it is building off of previous research of addiction and neurology in that sense. So it has been able to grow. The reason why sexologists don't agree, and a really great example that Gary Wilson talks about in his book, is comparing it to the earliest studies on the effects of tobacco and nicotine. So research at the very beginning that, you know, we started testing, what is the effects of tobacco on our bodies, on our psyche? How does that work? When it first came out, there was a ton of inconsistent research, primarily due to, you know, it's like the tobacco industry funded a study about how, and then funded a study about tobacco, and then shockingly, the results were tobacco is not harmful at all for your body. Okay, we know that today. That's not true at all. And so that earlier research, it really gets driven by where the money is coming from, who's benefiting from it. I mean, we still have that today. And so because there's all different kinds of research on porn, and not even to mention the fact that there is this, we're in this sex positive movement. We're getting there. We're getting more sex positive. And so people think that if you are anti-porn, or if you produce studies, or if you preach or teach or believe in your practice that porn is bad and there's negative effects to porn, people automatically come at you like, oh my God, you're anti-porn, you're anti-sex workers, you're just, you know, not sex positive enough for the time that we're in right now. And that's not what this is at all. It is, and that's why I kind of made that, you know, just said that at the very beginning because I don't want people, everyone knows I'm very sex positive. I'm very, you know, all about what you want to do, finding what that sexual wholeness means to you. But the problem with porn is it's interfering with people's sexual wholeness. It's interfering with their everyday lives, which is what addiction is. And, you know, we're trying to figure out why is there so much erectile dysfunction in teenagers and men in their early 20s. And it has a lot to do with porn. And, you know, I don't think anything is like the end-all be-all answer to everything. I do not think that at all. But I think that there is a lot of evidence and just facts out there that porn is contributing to a lot of these things. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Okay. So this podcast is we are going to go over what porn addiction is, what porn addiction is, what porn-induced erectile dysfunction is, what happens in your brain and your body in those processes, how do you get there, symptoms of it, how do you know if you have it, and treatment tips, so how to combat it. And so I get questions about this, you guys, all the time, through whatever, Women Against Taboo forums or my Instagram write-in thing, from my patients. Those of you who know, I work about 8 hours a week with adults doing injections for adults that have substance use disorders. So we commonly see people with substance use disorders co-occurring with porn addiction. So I see clients around this subject a lot, and I get a lot of questions about why, about penis questions. Why does my penis not work? Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to just say that this is only for males and that only males get effects from porn use. That's not true at all. But like I talked about in the trafficking podcast, is you do majority, okay? It's not like all, if anyone says it's only men or it's only, if there's any only, never, always kind of statements, throw them out, they're shit. But because men are the majority of the people affected by this right now, we're going to talk about men and penises more than women. But just know that women and vagina havers and all the things, their brain processes are similar. And just remember that erectile tissue and penile tissue is the same kind of tissue as clitoris tissue, vaginal tissue. And so it has similar effects. And then most of these are about, you know, brain changes and stuff. So it's going to be similar. But I will be referring to men or penis havers throughout this episode. Just like in trafficking, how I will talk about women and girls throughout the episode, even though we know that it's not only women and girls. Okay, last thing is, because this is kind of, I don't want to say boring, I find this shit hella fascinating. I have done so much fucking research, have read so much shit on this, that I tried to gather all of that and dumb it down. No offense to all you people. But it's because, you know, I'll say some things about specific proteins or something, but I try to take out all of that because it just makes things way more confusing. And if you're not actually like a provider or like a, you know, a sexual health doctor or therapist or anything like that, then those nitty gritty things don't really mean anything to you, and you don't really need to know them, I guess. If you do want to know them, I will give resources that you can really get into it, but I think it makes it more confusing. When I'm reading these things, I'm like making diagrams, outlining it so I can memorize it. I just don't think that that's what people are looking for, but it is still kind of neurology rich. And so maybe take some breaks. I'm going to try and put some humor in this, make some nice, flaccid penis jokes as we go to keep you entertained. But yeah. Okay, let's do it. So if you want to know if this applies to you, it gets confusing. If, you know, it's more obvious if you're like, I'm just jacking off all fucking day to porn. I can't stop. I'm missing work. I'm like, I need it all the time. That's a little bit more obvious of like, yeah, I got a problem. This is a thing, you know? If it's somewhere in between, which we're going to talk about, it gets a little bit more confusing. You're like, do I have a problem? What? I didn't think I have a problem. I don't really notice any problems. I'm not complaining about any problems. So, but you know, that's how it starts, right? So when you're asking if it applies to you, some really great questions to ask is, are you imagining porn during sex? So you're not able to focus on the situation. Now, imagining a different person in sex is different than picturing porn. When you talk about porn, whatever your go-to is with your porn or the craziest shit that you see on porn, if you're picturing that in that situation, then that is some kind of evidence that, ooh, your brain is starting to like this a little bit too much and rely on it. And some of these things that we're going to talk about could start happening. Okay, has your arousal cycle changed? You know, has your libido changed? Do you feel like you are not really like interested in like actually having sex? You're like, ugh, I would way rather just masturbate to porn all the time. And not just masturbate to porn, to porn. If you're only masturbating to porn ever. So even if it's once a day, your brain can actually, the same processes can start happening in your brain, and they can be happening. Just people have different brains, and so they have different genetics. And so some people can kind of slow down that addiction and also stop that addiction. Some people will go to addiction really fast. Another one that I found really interesting in this was, when you are having sex with people, are you constantly trying to change sex positions, like too fast? And it's hard because it's like, oh, what's too fast? Everyone's different. It's almost like too fast where you're like, okay, I'm going to pump this for like 2 fucking seconds. And then I'm like, ah, switch over, do this. You're like doing a little fucking dance the whole goddamn time. You're having sex, and that could be used to, the explanation of that is, because when you're on porn, you're constantly scrolling new things. And so, which we'll talk about, but your brain's getting addicted to those new things. And so it can cause you to constantly need new things, even in the bedroom. A huge question that I commonly get asked when we start talking about porn and addiction and why it is so high now and it wasn't in the past, because you're like, oh my gosh, when I was a teen, I used to jack off to Sports Illustrated magazines. I would be whacking my shit to whoever was on the fucking cover, or Playboy, or all the things. You're like, why didn't that give hella people erectile dysfunction or porn-induced erectile dysfunction? So how is that different from porn? Images, still images, cannot compete with reality. There is still part of the brain that is using fantasy, that is imagining movements, imagining scenario, situation, what you're going to do with that girl. It's not just given to you like porn. It takes like no brain function, I swear. When you're watching porn, you're like, oh, now my penis is hard. This is dope. But in porn, you can change new genres, new chicks. You can enhance anything that you want. In one instance, you're fucking gangbanging this one chick, and the next thing, now you're just coming on a white chick's face. The next one, you know, you're fucking your boss at work. You know, there's all different kinds of things. You're constantly basically having sex with more people in one encounter. So it's not like you're just with the same old boobies or same old things that you usually fuck. It's like all different kinds. And that new factor is that novelty and new. Also in porn, everything is enhanced, dude. Enlarged tickle bitties. Like, enlarged. People with the nicest everything. Biggest dicks. The noises are like, like so dramatic, and right, like I said, there's more people, and you guys get it. I don't really think I need to explain that more. You understand porn is not real sex. Yeah, we get it. But constantly new. Also with porn, you can search for hours to find the right video to finish with, which makes dopamine levels abnormally high for a long period of time. This is called edging. And so it's like you find a video and you're jacking off and you're like, oh, I don't want to come yet. So you find another video. You're like, I don't want to come to that one. You're finding the precisely right video of how you want to come or finish. And basically you can control your dopamine levels in one hit. Your dopamine is like, it makes us motivated to do something. It's like, we want more of this. This is good for us. We want more, 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 more. And so basically, as you're watching a video for a certain amount of time, your dopamine levels start dropping because things aren't so new. New things, novelty, also spikes dopamine. So if any, it's like not even just, readjusting. It's not even just porn that spikes our dopamine levels. It's like any new kind of experiences and anything that is like shocking. So yeah, so the dopamine level's dropping, but when you go to another click, it's something new. And so dopamine spikes back up again and you get like this, oh, you know, like you're, oh, that was good. I liked that. Good feeling. And that's what makes you wanting more and more and more and more. So that is the main difference between porn and just fucking to magazines or whatever we used to do in the fucking ancient days. God, that was like 10 years ago or something. Crazy. Okay, so what's the difference between like a porn addiction and like a drug addiction or a food or exercise addiction? The really big thing that makes so much sense to me, and it is a little bit mind-blowing, but there are limits to the amount of drugs, food, and exercise that you can consume or engage in. There is none on porn because of the fact that you can edge for so long, right? You can be hard but not finishing. That's kind of what edging is, for so long. And I know you're like, but there's a refractory period where I can't get hard after. Yes, but the point is you could go 12 fucking hours if you wanted for one cum, for one ejaculation. Whereas with drugs, you can't just keep doing it almost for that long at this high amount of stimulation because you'll fucking die. And with food is like your stomach, you can't just, you can eat, right? But your stomach can only be so big, and that's, you know, it keeps expanding. But in this one sitting, I can't just eat anything I want with in unlimited amounts. There has to be some kind of limit, whether you vomit, whether your stomach ruptures. There are things that limit the amount of consumption. You know, part of that edging and that dopamine is like, it's like basically telling you, keep going. That satisfaction, that high, that reward is right around the corner. Just keep going, keep going. When you edge and for this long period of time, it doesn't even become about the actual ejaculation. The actual watching of porn is that dopamine hit, right? You're like, I don't even need to ejaculate because this right here is so much fun, because I keep, you know, new images. You're like, I don't even want to ejaculate. I could just do this all day. Look how much fun we're having. We're just dopamine hit after dopamine hit after dopamine hit. So, yep, that's that. Sexual arousal and addictive drugs share similar neurological mechanisms. Studies on rats have found that cocaine and meth hijack the same reward nerve cells that evolve with sexual conditioning. So if it's not meth and cocaine, which is what we have found that is similar nerve to sex, other drugs, like let's just say alcohol, marijuana, those can still activate the reward center and the addiction center of our brain, but they are on some different pathways than the sex, meth and cocaine. Sex and orgasm induce higher levels of dopamine and natural opioids than any other natural reward. People that don't know, natural opioids, we release those all the time in our body. It's, you know, it's, they're literally the same chemical, similar chemicals as like an opioid, like a pill. And when we orgasm, we actually release natural opioids in our body. So if you've ever heard like, oh, sex helps with pain, a lot of that is the opioid because it's calming the pain and it really is relieving pain. Like you are releasing opioids to not feel pain. And so no other reward can make that high levels of dopamine and natural opioids than sex can, which is fucking cool. In rats, they found that their dopamine levels that occur during sex and sexual arousal are equal to those induced by morphine, like actually taking morphine at the hospital. It's like the same amount of opioids released, which is actually insane. Okay, so how do sex and drugs work in our body? Stay with me here. I'm going to say a few words that are like, what the fuck is that? I'll explain them. If they're confusing to you, just go over them and I'll do a nice little recap. Okay. Sex and drugs lead to this protein called Delta-Fos B. That is the protein that activates genes that are involved in addiction. So sex and drugs activate addiction genes. So what that happens is that Delta-Fos B, that protein, sex and drugs rewire our brain to crave it. It in quotes. It is whatever it is, whether it's the sex, it's the porn, or the drugs, it is craving it. Your reward cycle does not know what porn is. Literally all it knows is whatever the fuck that thing is that's giving me those hormones is fucking nice. And I want to keep doing that. Dopamine is like, we need to go back to that because that shit is fucking good. It doesn't know that it's porn. It doesn't know that it's drugs. It doesn't know that it's sex. It literally doesn't know. It just knows that it's fucking good. So when we binge things like porn, what binging does is it overrides our like stop system of the body. We have things that are making us do things, and then we have things in our body that are like, whoa, 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 slow it the fuck down, stop right there. So binging kind of overrides that stop system because it thinks we hit like the evolutionary jackpot. It's like, holy fuck, this is dope. This is so much shit. We are gonna mass produce. This is great. We're gonna just do this and do this over and over again and over and over again. We hit the evolutionary jackpot, motherfuckers. Basically, our body doesn't know when we're gonna get that thing again, whatever that thing is for the reward cycle. So basically, your emotional brain is really being overpowered by your frontal lobe and your prefrontal cortex. Your prefrontal cortex is a really good thing to know, honestly, is your like rational thinking. It is like the part of your brain that's like, that's not a good idea because there's going to be consequences. Let's not do that thing. Examples of like teenagers, that's the last thing that our brains actually develop. And so that's why they do dumb shit all the time, because their brains are literally not able and formed to tell them that's a bad idea. They don't have that stop system, that prefrontal cortex. So basically they're just controlled by emotion all the time. They're like, bah, 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 bah. It's like when they are like, I call it like teenage boys and their fucking dicks. They're just like controlled by their dicks because it's like all of their emotion and hormones are like, meh. And yeah, so that can happen to adults as well. And binging changes that brain structure. I almost think it's like, okay, you're going back to adolescence, right? Those stop factors are not working so hot. Okay. Hopefully you're hanging in there. This next one's gonna be rough. So there's four brain changes involved in addiction. We're gonna go over each of them in some detail. But the four things are sensitization, desensitization, dysfunctional prefrontal circuitry or hypofrontality. So basically that prefrontal cortex that we were just talking about is just like dysfunctional as fuck. And then the last one is malfunctioning stress system. So those are four things found in addiction, right? So addiction of sex, drugs, gambling. So we're finding that these four things are also found in porn addicts. And that is where we get a lot of that information of, oh my God, this is working similar ways as to other addiction factors and situations that we already know about and we've already heavily studied. Okay. Sensitization. Sensitization, or it's like super, it's like our super memory of pleasure. When triggered, can activate powerful cravings. It puts us on autopilot, feeling like someone else is like controlling your brain, your dick, your body, your actions. During periods of addiction, those porn pathways get stronger. And basically the long story boring, we're making more nerve cells and receptors for that dopamine and all the chemicals. So dopamine, like again, tells us this activity or whatever we're doing, the stimulus is important. And it makes us remember it so that we can repeat it again. It's positive reinforcement. It makes you want whatever it is that you're binging on. Because of what that delta phosphine and things are doing in your brain, you get that urge to repeat the behavior and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger every loop. And every time you do it, it gets stronger. Don't know if I've said this on this podcast yet, but nerve cells that fire together, wire together, wire together. Basically, this is if you do two things at the same time, those physically in your brain, your neurons are molding together. Literally, physically. We can see this on brain scans. That's insane. Not only are they functioning together, but they're physically, your brain is physically, can I say it one more time? Physically, actually, like if I just put two cords together, that's literally what your brain is doing. So when those nerve cells are right by each other, they fire really each other. With each other super fast. Boop, 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 boop. This is important because if you have a certain routine or a certain smell or seeing anything that even is involved in the time that you're watching porn, that can be a trigger to go back to the porn. So let's just say, I only masturbate to porn when I'm home alone. So if, let's just say, someone leaves my house and now I'm home alone. I might not even be in a situation right now where I want to do porn, but just the fact that I'm home alone triggered my pathways to be like, porn, because we've built those together. And those cues, like that someone leaving the house or triggers, can actually increase dopamine just as high as you're actually taking that drug or stimulus. Those dopamine, that reward, like, remember that, we want to do that again. Remember that, we want to do that again, is actually triggered. You don't even need to see porn, dude. You don't even need to be fucking in a spot where you even can do porn. It's literally like, sorry, we're fucking doing it. We got triggered. So delta phosb goes back to normal levels about 2 months after the addict stops binging. But some of these sensitized pathways can remain. So this thing called Krebs inhibits dopamine, reduces it, says, no, dopamine, you just stay right down there. We don't need you fucking up our life. And it tries to take the joy out of binging so that you give it a rest. It's Krebs just like, take that dopamine down. That's kind of our stop system, right? This is not the evolutionary jackpot. This is fucking rough. But high levels of dopamine stimulate delta phosb and Krebs. High levels of dopamine, super, super high, stimulate delta phosb and Krebs. So Kreb doesn't stand a chance with supernormal stimuli. It's like a numbed pleasure response by Kreb. When that starts happening, when you need more and more stimuli to get the same kind of reward, so your body's like always looking for that reward. It's like, I see it there, I see it there, I see it there. All these things that are going to be like, hey, I have what you need. I have what you need. I have that good shit again. Ha ha ha. I know how you can get it. It's right in there. Open your phone. Open Pornhub. You saved the tab. All the things. But what happens is it starts to become numb. And you build a tolerance. And this is where desensitization comes in. So desensitization is literally a numbing response from pleasure. So we start to take larger doses and start to watch higher stimulating porn, like the crazy shit. You know, like when you first opened up your computer, first time you've ever seen porn, you're not like, well, really bad things are coming to my mind. Like, I'm gonna be triggering so many people, like, holy fuck, what's going on in my mind? You know, you're not watching gangbang porn when you're like first opening it up, you're like, holy fuck, too much, right? But over time, your body increases what it needs. And so you need a lot more of like crazy shit to affect you. You start with the slow shit and you start to be like, that shit's boring. That's not new. Next, blow my mind, please. So more intense stimuli leads to higher dopamine levels. So Kreb doesn't work. That break does not freaking work. It's like trying to break and it's like there's so fucking much to break. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do with all this dopamine. This is wild. So because of this, not only is your sex threshold higher, but your pleasure threshold is higher in general. So things like that you would enjoy in everyday life are not going to give you that same dopamine. So let's just say, I love cuddling with my significant other. I love painting. It's so much fun to me. I love playing basketball. I love doing all these things. Well, those things start to become really like not fun. Like you're like, don't really get that much pleasure from it. You're like, what? Like, because it can't compete with this super stimuli of porn, new porn, new check to fuck, new this. It can't compete. It's kind of crazy. So this brain study found that people addicted to porn had like greater reward system activation. Like when they put them under a brain scan, their reward system was like a lot higher and it was like a lot more intense cravings. But it actually showed that they don't really like porn more than other people. It was like literally when we talk about autopilot, like the sensitization autopilot, that's literally what it is. It's like, I like porn. I like porn like the rest of people who use porn like porn, but I'm addicted to porn. And my brain is like, no, we need this, we need this, we need this. And so you're like, this is wild. It's like, you're literally on autopilot. So actually desensitization is calm and like numbness to other things in life or numbness to the same kind of porn that you were watching is actually commonly one of the first addictive brain changes that porn users notice. They notice that they need greater and greater stimuli to achieve the same buzz. And they realize that they're building a tolerance. And I think that's how I remember desensitization is a tolerance. And we can all relate to tolerance on like, come on, alcohol tolerance. It's like you graduate from fucking college and now all of a sudden I get drunk on one Red Bull vodka. Like who the fuck do I think I am? Like I was a fucking champ in college, could just throw some shit back like it was no fucking other. And you're literally building that tolerance. People notice it with weed a lot. Like if you're smoking every day, then you're gonna need to smoke more and more every day. But if you give it some days off or a certain period off and then smoke again, then you need less to get you high. And this is the same thing with porn. So dysfunctional prefrontal circuitry. That's such a long word. I don't never want to say that again. So this manifests as kind of like weakened willpower or like hyper reactivity to addiction cues. So it's kind of like the, oh my God, I literally feel like I can't control myself. And remember we talked about the prefrontal cortex is like that thing that's like, are you sure you should do that? There's going to be some consequences for that. Or like, that seems wrong. Why are we doing that? And that part of your brain is like weaker. And so it's not able to say, okay, let's fucking make a rational decision. Let's not watch child rape porn. This is getting a little crazy. And that addiction brain is like, nope, this is crazy shit. This is crazy shit. We want it. We want this. We want this. We want this. It's fucking nuts. This is fucking crazy. It's new shit right here. Yeah, so basically it's like the emotional addiction reward brain gets stronger and the rational, this is right, do this brain gets weaker. Okay, we're not going to get into that anymore. Malfunctioning stress systems. Yikes. Okay. These manifest as like amplified cravings, a decrease in willpower, and an increase of withdrawal symptoms. Yikes. These alterations make it so challenging to quit. It's basically like, so one, stress increases dopamine and cortisol. Cortisol is that stress hormone. It's literally it's like, I literally think of it as like stress going around your body. Like, this is me. I'm cortisol. I'm stress. So basically, because of this change in and increase in dopamine and cortisol, minor things that are stressors could make severe cravings. So like, you've heard it like, oh my God, what's a minor stressor? We're out of toothpaste. I cannot handle this shit. I need a drink. Or I had to wait 5 hours at the post office today. I need a drink. It's like things that you should be able to handle and regulate on your own is like, nope, I need it. I need it. I can't handle this. And because it's like, again, with that overriding of the prefrontal cortex, the rational part of your brain, it's like you make decisions like stupidly. Like like things don't make sense, right? And that's kind of like when we talk about that's the addiction talking. It's literally they can almost, I see this all the time. I didn't do drugs. I promise I didn't do it. Here's your UA, your analysis drug screen. It literally shows positive for opioids right here. Like, how do you explain that? And it's still like, nope, I didn't do it. And it's like, your brain is literally fucking hijacked. And it's like, I know as a non-addicted person, I know that's not rational. But to them, it's like, nope. Because that part of their brain is like, I can't do it. Ah, we don't have any connections there anymore. I don't know what's fucking rational. Like, they don't understand that sounds so stupid, right? Like, I'm looking at it right here. How can you still be saying that? And it's that part of the brain, which is also affected in that stress response as well. Also, when the addict brain deprives itself of that fix, of that drug or porn, that stress system goes into overdrive. It is like, we need it. I'm stressed. We need this. It's like, it induces like withdrawal symptoms. You can start having like anxiety, aches, irritability, mood swings. And oftentimes that makes you go back to the addiction because you're already not coping very well. And we know that thing is going to make us feel better, at least for the short term, right? And it goes back to that. Like, we feel like shit. I know the answer. I know something that's going to make us feel better. That fix, whatever your drug of choice or porn of choice is. So as a nice little recap, the sensitization part of your brain is saying, hey, I got what you need. Remember this shit? This shit's good. And then desensitization is saying, ugh, I can't get pleasure from anything. I'm like, ugh, I can't get pleasure. Like, even when I'm jacking off, it's like, I don't even like this anymore. Like, if any of you feel like you've kind of been addicted to, like, a drug or, like, alcohol or weed or whatever, and you're just like, I don't even know why I do this anymore. Like, I'm like, eh. It's like, eh. You just can't find pleasure from it. And then the fucked up prefrontal cortex says, bad idea. Bad idea to do that. But I can't stop you. Don't have the tools, can't stop you. And then that stress system screams, I need something to take the fucking edge off right fucking now. And so you have all of these four things that are happening with the addiction all saying different things. And so your brain's like, I don't know what to do. Ah, it's fucking nuts in here. I don't know what the fuck's happening in my head. It's like, so it's a lot. Okay. I want to just tell you this fact because it kind of blew my mind, honestly. So, like I said, all addictions are targeting the same or similar brain systems, right? And so in rats, love the rat studies, love the rats. Dopamine-raising substances. Okay, so like alcohol, cocaine, can create addictions, right? But only about 10 to 15% of humans or rats ever become addicts. Nicotine is an exception for some reason. I'm not too educated on nicotine facts, but nicotine is an exception. And it's interesting because there's these genetic components, right? And it doesn't mean like, not everyone that tries something that's like quote unquote addictive is actually going to get addicted to it. There are genetic components of this that it just didn't activate my addiction gene. It just didn't really do it for me. Or I can do it occasionally and not have a problem. Like, there is a genetic component. Porn and sex, because we evolved already, that these things we already know drive us, right? We want to have sex to reproduce, and we need food to eat to have all the energy to do all the things. So those things are already hardwired into us. We're already driven for those things. So we're finding that with sex and food, it has not as strong of a genetic component. Okay. Take a break if you need a break. We're moving on to teens. This is some good shit here. Okay. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee. Sometimes I'm like, did anything I just say make sense? Like, what? Did it? I don't fucking know. Hopefully. I'm going to listen to it back. Like, God damn, I got to re-record. Okay. Teens and porn. One of my fucking favorite topics. Sexual conditioning. So teen education usually focuses on like conscious learning, and some people are like, all we need to tell teens is that porn is not real sex, and that's that. And we know that, right? Like, even as adults, we're told, okay, porn isn't real, there's no consent, there's, you know, it's made for men, blah, blah, blah. We hear these things. But that doesn't really, it ignores the unconscious effects of porn viewing. And so, yes, prefrontal lobe rational thinking is like, yes, this isn't real, but our learning effects that we actually are taking in and our reward cycle and our emotions are learning that women love ejaculating on their faces. So he's unconsciously learning what is exciting him sexually. We know it's not real, but my body is saying, ooh, this is fun. This is exciting. I love coming on girls' faces. So that's kind of like that conditioning. So the conscious learning is like, this is how people have sex. Unconscious learning is like, this is what increases my dopamine and opioids. This is what feels good. This is what I like. Dude, this is wild. So with the kind of like the same, have you guys ever heard of like Pavlov's dog? It's like when this like researcher or whatever, like every time he rang the bell, he would like call the dogs in to feed them. And so like than just even the bell, they would get excited. It's like, I do this with my dog. Like, if you say dog park, then he'll be like, dog park? Because every time we go to the dog park, I'm like, you want to go to the dog park? You want to go to the dog park? And so if I just say that, he automatically knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. So they did this study where, like, they had teens, like, view porn and, like, masturbate, like, while also, like, looking at unsexy items, like a boot or, like, a shoe or something. And later, they literally got erections just by seeing a boot, which is crazy. And teens were more likely to do that because their dopamine levels and because their brains are so rapidly changing more than adults, it's, like, really, really prevalent with teens in that situation. And they're finding that, like, your experiences in your teen life, because there's a lot more dopamine in your brain, so you're automatically getting way greater dopamine hits. And remember, dopamine makes you remember things, that it's, you're remembering these experiences for longer. So it's like, now us, we might be able to change our, we'll talk about rechanging our brain with, like, the boot or whatever, but it's going to take them a lot longer because they had so much more dopamine when it hit, and so it's harder to forget. So the way that, you know, porn-induced erectile dysfunction really works is that, one, you're training your brain because of masturbating to porn. You're training your brain that is what's getting you off. A 2D version that you can just change in a minute, if that doesn't do it for you, is what the positive sex reward is. So people with that have these issues will actually start being, like, unattracted to, like, human people. So they will be like, see someone on the street, they're not getting aroused anymore. They can't get hard in the bedroom. Maybe they're thinking about porn in the bedroom or needing to watch porn in the bedroom in order to get an erection and to stay erect. And that's kind of like that, you know, you need more stimuli in order to get the same results. So teenagers who commonly watch porn, they're actually, their sex tastes morph. And they morph really quickly, more than adults. And it's harder for them to change. And things, you know, become a little bit more permanent, if not reversed. And they need a lot more work to be changed. Interesting. So research shows that the younger the age people first start to use porn, the more likely they are to view bestiality or child porn. Which is very interesting, because I think, you know, their stimulus started so high at such a young age that their dopamine levels are already kind of fucked, and they need crazy shit, right? Things that, like, normally our brains would say, like, not cool, too far, not much. And so they're needing that extra hit and hit and hit and hit. And so they do, you know, watch some crazy shit. If you are this person that you are having some of these issues, like not being able to get hard with partners, you know, not even, you go to the bar and you see real people and you're like, I'm not even trying to hook up with people like I used to. I'm just ready to go home and watch porn, or I need to watch porn during sex, or I need to imagine porn during sex. You feel like it's kind of controlling your body a little bit. You're doing it in maybe weird places at work. You're missing work, or, you know, it's actually interfering with your life. Or if you're just like, this is weird, I'm, you know, 25 and why can't my dick work? Like, this is crazy. I shouldn't have ED. This is embarrassing. This is shameful. And I would encourage you to look at your porn use. And, you know, even watching porn just once a day can actually activate these four, you know, addiction things that we talked about and cause sensitization and desensitization. And yeah, it can cause a lot of issues. So, withdrawal, and kind of coming off, rebooting your recovery, it is not fun, I've heard. So, symptoms, if you just stop watching porn, all together, you could actually have symptoms similar to like drug withdrawals, which is pretty nuts. We'll talk about what a flatline is, but flatline, anxiousness, depression, just being lethargic, irritable, mood swings, insomnia, shaking, feeling hot, all these things can be indicators that, oh shit, like I might be a little, my brain might be a little bit more addicted than I thought. So it's kind of like, give it a try. Like, are any of these things happen? What happens when you stop watching porn? Do you get this, like, these cravings, these urges? Are you more irritable? Are you, you know, are you having any of these things? Which is interesting, because that might be able to tell you if you're having it or not. But these withdrawals are like real neurological reactions in your brain. Even though it's not like a consumed substance or something, it is still triggering the same neurological firing pathways in your brain as if it was an actual substance, which is nuts. So basically your brain will do two things when you like withdraw. One, it will literally make you fucking miserable so that you will go get that stimulus again. You will get the reward. You will be motivated to go find it. It literally will do anything to get you to get that. Its job is to make you feel fucking terrible, and it's really good at it. And then after a while, it will just like give up. And it's just like, fine, I don't want to fucking do this anymore. You haven't gotten this in forever. We're alive. I sent you all this fucked up shit that's happening in your body, and you didn't give a fuck, and that's not fun. But it will still, and over time it gets less and less, but it will still try and give you those things. It, like, you might get like a craving out of nowhere, or it like tries to give you those cues back again. You know, maybe this is months, years down the line, and you get something and you want to watch porn again, and the brain's like, are you gonna bite? Are you gonna bite? Are you gonna bite the bait? And if you don't, it's like, oh fuck. And it like re-weakens that pathway, but it really takes time to rewire your brain, which is pretty crazy. Your brain will tell you that, you know, this world is like gray and hopeless and meaningless without this reward fix. And typically the first 2 weeks are like the toughest. And it's important to remember that like your brain is like a muscle, anything in your brain. But on this topic, your brain is like a muscle. Think about it like my biceps, okay? This way. Think about it like my biceps. I'm in the gym. Like, my biceps are always there, right? They're there. They're hanging out. Sometimes they're bigger. Sometimes they're smaller. The more you go to the gym and you work it out, you work this muscle, you keep working it, you keep working it, it gets stronger. It's like, yeah, we can take more. We can take more. You stop going to the gym, it gets smaller. It gets weaker. You know, we can't lift as much. Same thing with your brain. Those processes that you are using in your brain are getting stronger, stronger and stronger and stronger. It's like literally you're working a muscle. And as soon as you stop using those, whatever aspect of your brain that's getting stronger, it loses it. It's literally like a muscle. Like, it can still grow again if you start, you know, really getting into it, but it loses its strength. It starts to become weaker. You can't use it as easily. It doesn't come as like routine. It's harder to get. And so that's kind of just interesting to note in general about the brain. Okay, so let's talk about this flatline. So it's a pretty standard withdrawal symptoms in porn-induced erectile dysfunction, but it also happens if you are kind of have some kind of addiction to porn and you don't have erectile dysfunction yet. This can still happen, so look out for that. Basically, it can happen for weeks or even months after stopping, and it's basically like it's like a lifeless, smaller pee-pee. I just called it a pee-pee. It's like, man, this is like, I can't do anything. I'm like, bleh, I don't want anything. I can't get hard. And you just like don't have a sex drive. It's like no libido's happening. Which makes it super common for people to like rush back to porn in this stage, because some people like, you start to like think like, oh my God, my penis is like fucking broken. My dick is broken. And I know that porn is going to hopefully give me an erection. So, this is a really common time to go back to porn, because you're like, oh, my dick is broken. And then you go to porn and you're like, it's not broken. Thank fucking God. My penis broke when I'm not watching porn. Porn must be the, you know, cure for my penis issues not getting hard. And it's like, no, it's literally causing it. You just have to get through this time of like limp dick. And it's nice to talk to your partner about it, so that it, you know, if you have a consistent one or whatever, or you're hooking up and you feel comfortable, open up the communication and just like, hey, this might happen, or this has been happening. But so I might not be able to get hard. Sorry. It's not you. It's me. It's the porn. It's my brain. Tips for recovering from porn-induced erectile dysfunction. So you want to eliminate porn and all porn substitutes. So not even the magazines, sorry, not in this part, not when you're recovering in your recovery phase. Get rid of porn, get rid of fucking hot bitches on TikTok, unfollow some half-naked people like myself on Instagram. No OnlyFans, that doesn't fucking count. It's still goddamn porn. Anything that is going to make you think of porn, put it away, because your brain will convince you that you need it. You just have to let your brain rewire itself, get it the fuck out. Basically, eliminate all artificial sexual stimulation that doesn't involve an actual human. So no audio. Don't be listening to like people have sex. Still fucking counts. No literature. No 50 Shades of Grey. Still counts. Anything that's not an actual fucking human counts. You rewire your brain through real people. You don't even need to have sex to rewire your brain for new people. You can literally just like slowly get to know someone. Have a conversation with a real human. You can hug. You can touch. You can make out. You want to rewire those porn pathways and say, no, the human, the actual human is the good reward, not the super stimulus porn. Okay. Most people so it's called a rebooting. So most rebooters aim for at least like around 100 days to like 3 months, broken up into like short-term goals and things. If you have porn-induced erectile dysfunction, it could even take longer than that. And everyone's different, right? Everyone starts at different times. Their threshold's different. All the things going on in their body is all different. So it's going to be different for every person. So yeah, manage your access to porn. So delete porn sites from your phone. Delete apps, unfollow triggering accounts, like I said. Put a porn blocker on your device, or an ad porn blocker, because if you've been watching a lot of porn, then you're probably getting a lot of ads for it. You can put an ad block, and it's called Block Plus, is one of the porn ad blockers, and it's free, so you can download that to like get all of those ads off of your shit. Sometimes even moving your furniture in your house, like we talked about how like some things will trigger. So if like you always do it in that spot, or you always do it with that, I was gonna say toy, but most men don't use toys. But if you, you know, rearrange your house, change the environment can help change the cues. So it's not so triggering all the time. Have coping skills ready for when you're getting that urge. So maybe you're like, oh, I want to do it. Especially, like I said, in those first 2 weeks that are just fucking nuts. Maybe you're like, okay, when I get the urge, I'm going to go punch my punching bag. When I get the urge, I'm going to go hang out with a friend. Real human interaction. I'm going to do things that are naturally rewarding to us. So stay away from like video games, like really sugary foods, intense exercise, just do things that are very natural, go out into nature. Yeah, you can also join a forum. So nofap.com, so nofap.com, and rebootnation.org, and I'll link them on this as well. You can find like an accountability partner. It's like someone who's also going through it. It's kind of tricky because it's a great resource, but when you're going through all this, you really want to stay off of like devices, because those can be triggers in itself. And so, you know, if you're on constantly on there talking to your accountability partner, then it could also be triggering. So just kind of like analyze yourself, like what is effective, what isn't. Also finding a psychiatrist and therapist, especially because addictions are commonly, not always, but commonly a secondary symptom to childhood trauma or abuse, any kind of sexual abuse, family dysfunction, any trauma that's in your life, extreme periods of stress can really cause your body to get into this. So sometimes you need to fix that underlying factor, and that will really help that porn addiction part of your brain. So if you make sure that the person that you go to, whether it's psychiatrist, therapist, counselor, has experience with sex addiction or sex-based therapy and treatment. So you can go to asect.com. I actually did a reel about it, and that shows you how to do it, but it's asect, A-A-S-E-C-T.com, and you can put in your area, and then you can find people like psychiatrists, counselors, educators, and therapists in your area that specialize in all things sex, which is great. They have PA groups, Porn Anonymous. You can find a Porn Anonymous group either online or in person. That's a good tip. Journal your progress. So one thing about addiction is that your brain constantly tells you that these things aren't working. You're not making progress because it wants that reward. So if you're able to journal and track your process or your progress, then you can actually like physically show yourself like, look, we are making progress. Like, I haven't watched porn in this amount of days. These were my cravings on this day. You know, 2 weeks later, I'm feeling like this. There is progress. So that can just be like a nice like reminder. Managing stress and self-care. I mean, exercise has a lot of benefits. We don't want to overdo it. Shouldn't be working more than maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, a little pushing it, depending on the exercise. But be careful, because if you have an addictive personality, that can also become addicting. So basically your brain is just changing its fix, but all these other things can still happen. So yeah, managing your stress, just doing things that you did enjoy. You might not enjoy them right now because of that desensitization, but just trying to get your brain back to things that you enjoy and you love, and that can take some time. Socializing is seriously, because it is, you know, about the 2D situation, socializing, being around humans, human interaction is really changing that brain of like, hey, look, this is the good shit right here. And it can reduce your stress. You know, even if, because some people that, so porn addiction too, an addiction really isolates you from people. And so social situations can be super hard, and you can kind of develop like a social anxiety situation. And so even like starting slow, like just going to a coffee shop and sitting and reading a book or something, go on a long walk where like you pass people and like smile at people, go to dinner, get food with people, just start to say hello to people on the street. It can be hard, but you're slowly getting back into that socialization. Meditation, you guys. Meditation actually strengthens that prefrontal cortex, that decision-making. Addiction makes that area weaker, and meditation actually strengthens it. We know that from brain scans and studies. Remember, physically, you're making neurons. And so meditation actually proves to be effective and helpful, which is super cool. It usually takes a couple months to see and feel the changes. But if you kind of get into a routine and make it a habit, then it can be super helpful. Another good one is, like, write down a list of reasons of, like, why you want to quit porn. And so when those cravings come, you can look at that and try and trigger that prefrontal cortex of, like, hey, look, this is the consequences of doing porn all the time. This is why we're trying to stop. To try and remind yourself, like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're going to try and do this. It's important. Another thing is when we touch ourselves or other people touch us, anywhere in our body, like our arms, our chest, our face, anywhere, we release oxytocin. And because, you know, maybe before you were touching your dick all the fucking time, you know, like how many fucking hours a day, you might be able to, you know, your oxytocin levels might be dropping as well. And so just kind of like holding your own hands, like sitting with your hands crossed. I always put my hand like on my chest by my heart. That releases some oxytocin, cuddling, getting that human interaction so you don't feel so lonely and you feel connected to someone and something. Okay, so some questions that I commonly get just to, can I have actual sex during my reboot process? So the answer is it's up to you. It sometimes can slow down that reboot. But it's also, you know, you're getting the touch, you're getting the affection, you're getting that human, you know, actual interaction, not just on a screen. And so that's okay. You know, you're rewiring your brain. You can also have sex and not orgasm. That sounds terrible to some of you. I get it. But the orgasm is like the actual hit. And so you can kind of just like slowly get into it, just practice, kind of get back into it to kind of get your libido back, your sex drive back, if you've lost it. If you have porn-induced erectile dysfunction, though, it's most helpful to wait until your erections are, like, actually spontaneous with your partner. You know, it's not, like, forcing sex. It's more like you'll actually start to get horny again. And your dick will start to be able to get hard without porn. And that's usually an indicator like, okay, you can have sex now. This is great. Your brain is changing. Another question, can I masturbate during my reboot? You can. You can still masturbate. But like we said, cut off the porn and the porn substitutes. Another thing is fantasizing about porn. And we know that thinking about something or fantasizing about something triggers a lot of the same neural pathways as if you were actually doing it. So if you're having sex and you're thinking about porn, still, you're still strengthening those pathways. And we're trying to break those down. So if you are, you know, having sex with yourself, masturbating, think about actually what's happening. Fantasize about maybe past sexual experiences that you have, or think of a scenario in your head. Maybe jack off to the waiter that you had yesterday, your boss, whatever. A real human that you know, not like a porn star that you've never met in 3D, that you've actually, a real human that you actually know. You really, really, really just want to give your brain time to heal. So some people ask, like, how do I know if I'm back to normal? Like, how do I know I'm like, okay, this shit's over, like, back to normal. So some include, like, you can get erections again just from, like, you know, normal sexual activity with a human. You're starting to get a sex drive back. That's really nice. You don't really have as many urges and cravings for porn. Maybe your porn-induced fetishes. So some people get confused about real, you know, fetishes to the core and porn fetishes. And the real fetishes to the core will still be there after you kind of reboot your whole system. Now, if it was a porn-induced fetish, you won't have those fetishes anymore. They might disgust you. They might just be uninterested. And that could be another thing of like, oh, I'm like really healing. I guess that must have been a porn-induced fetish because I don't even give a fuck about that anymore. That's interesting. Yeah, maybe. So another, some more things about how you know if you're rebooted is you actually start like thinking real people are attractive. Like you're attracted to real humans. Another thing that can happen, so beware, is that during the reboot process, you can have premature ejaculation. I know that sounds absolutely horrible. Like, it's like a one pump chomp situation, you know? But that's expected. So I don't want you to think that, like, okay, first, you know, I stopped porn and I couldn't get an erection at all. What the fuck is this? I lost my sex drive. This is terrible. Then I start to get my sex drive a little bit and I can get hard again. And then I bust in 2 seconds. What the fuck is this? This is terrible. That's expected, though. It will go back to normal as you practice real sex. So it's nice to be able to talk to your partner and say, like, hey, this could happen. This is a normal thing. This is expected. It won't be like this forever. But just so you know, this might happen. So, like, you know, as a respectful person that cares about other people's pleasure, they would say, I might one pump chump you, but I'll eat you out for 20 minutes after. Let's fucking go. I'd rather have sex with that guy, I think. All right, give me the rebooters. Those are the people I want to have sex with. The rebooters. Give them to me. I like them. Give me the one pump chump. The last thing that I want to hit on, there's just so much more that I can, like, share, and this is already getting so long, and holy crap, I did not think it was going to be this long. There's so many more things that I'm still on my list, but the last thing I really want to talk about is the shame. Shame that happens from any addiction, but something that is stigmatized, is taboo, love the word, can really, really, really increase that shame. And so, like I said, dopamine rises fast when you're doing something new, but it also rises fast when you're taking a risk or if you do something that's super, like, forbidden, like you, like, know that you shouldn't be doing it. And it actually makes it, like, harder to say no when you know you shouldn't be doing it. And so part of that is, like, that reboot process. But also, you know, you want it even more and more and more. And sometimes you're like, ew, I want, like, sick shit. Like, some things that I'm watching, I don't even want to tell anyone. This is so embarrassing. Wouldn't be caught dead if I would literally fucking die if anyone found out that I, like, jack off to this. Like, there is that shame feeling, and that can make you really anxious, and so that can actually cause you to binge, and which causes more shame, and then, you know, it's like this binge shame cycle. And, you know, this is super super common, and the shame is so high in people who are in communities that view this as bad and disgusting or sinful. You know, people that are super religious or in religious communities, that forbidden, that taking a risk of watching porn in general or watching this extreme porn that you would know, like, people would be just appalled if they found out, can you get more shame and you get more anxious, and that dopamine gets higher, and it's actually harder to say no, because there's, like, that hit. But that makes it even more shameful, because if that's, like, one of your religious views or people around you think that, you're going to get a lot more pressure and you're going to feel a lot worse about yourself, which can actually, you know, spiral you into doing it more, which is really unfortunate. The best way to kind of combat that is really think about your addiction and what you're doing as in biological terms. That way it's proved by science. It is something that you can understand, is just everyone's brain can do it. Everyone can possibly have this thing happen to them. And it's not about your morals. It's not about your ability to say no or, you know, resist temptations. It's not about you being an inherently bad human or constantly making bad, you know, mistakes. You're not flawed. You're not sinful. You're not possessed by demons. It's literally a biological process that is happening. It has nothing to do with your morals, because as we talked about, that rational part of your brain also where your morals is, right? That's bad. That's going to be consequences. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. Has been hindered and has been changed, literally redistributed in your brain. This is biological shit going on here. And so hopefully that can, just knowing that alone can take some of the shame and give an explanation for why these things are happening. Because the more shame you feel, the more you're going to be pushed towards it. And the more that you're going to self-isolate, which, you know, makes you sad and which makes you need a hit even more. And so surrounding yourself with people that are supportive, that don't think that you're bad, but not only that they don't think that you're bad, you don't think that they think you're bad. Does that make sense? Like, if I'm the one with the porn addiction, you know, my roommate Leah could be like super supportive, but if I think she's hella judging me all the time, it doesn't really matter because that shame and that guilt is still happening in me. You guys, there is so much more on this. The best way to not even be able to get into this situation, like I said, not anti-porn, right? You can still watch porn. Best ways. Don't watch porn every single time you masturbate. Masturbate more times without porn than you do with porn. Practice fantasizing. Make sure that you're keeping the human contact, okay? I'm like, don't just match with people on Hinge all the time and jack off to them and like never go and meet them. Like, I even talk about it with clits and toys, you know, don't use a vibrator every single time you have sex because God forbid, your brain literally thinks that's the only way I can orgasm. Now, if you can't orgasm another way, then great, do that every time. Some of, you know, whatever. But for me personally, I don't want to get addicted to, I don't want to be able to not orgasm without a vibrator. So you have to change it up a little bit so that your brain just doesn't think this is the only way to get this reward. Caution your kids about it. Talk to your fucking kids about porn. Talk to them about, you know the best way to fucking reduce porn use in teen boys? Tell them that their dick won't work. Tell them to listen to this podcast. That's like the fucking eyes light up, right? Like that's the motivator. Like what? My dick won't work? That fucking happens? That's like the scariest shit. These teenagers will be fucking jumping off buildings for fun, you know, doing some crazy shit, lighting shit on fire just because it's like fucking entertaining. They think nothing bad's gonna happen to them, but God forbid their dick doesn't work. That would be like the worst thing ever. So it's really funny. You're like, don't threaten them with death. Threaten them that their fucking dick will not work. And that's not, it's not like a fear tactic threat. Well, I guess it kind of is, but it's based in reality and science. And so that actually can't happen to them. Also, since we're talking about teens a little bit, but teens that watch porn all the time or addicted to porn have higher rates of depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, and body image issues. And so there's other aspects of just, you know, not erectile dysfunction or the addiction and affecting your life in that way. But there's other issues as well that come along with it. That can affect other areas of your life, and you might not know why you're depressed all the time, and because you're depressed you're using porn more, and it's just a bad cycle. Use it in the good old moderation. I like to think of it as like a treat, you know? We don't always get to be on vacation. We don't always get to do things that we like, but every once in a while I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go on vacation. Every once in a while, go on vacation to porn. Just make it a vacation. Don't make it, an everyday treat that you have. So I'm going to list some sites. I think everyone should read the book, Your Brain on Porn. Yourbrainonporn.com, I think, is his website that I was on. Gary Wilson's website. Like I said, I'm going to link all the other resources. There's a ton more shit. If you're actually having issues with this, I would read it. Or if you're starting to, or, you know, maybe you're like, I don't really know, so I'm going to stop porn and see what happens. And then you realize some of these things that we're talking about are coming up. Read this book. Go on some of these websites so that you can really understand and get more, like, helpful tips and more, like, specifics. You hear other people, how they overcome it, came it. And, yeah, just really dive in. Okay, I really hope that's it. I feel like I missed 1,000 things, and I also feel like I gave you so much information that it was an overload. So I don't fucking know. Maybe like fast forward or something. This is the end, so oops. You know all the things, like, subscribe, my Instagram, I am Taylor Stafford, Women Against Taboo Instagram, women.against.taboo, email womenagainsttaboo@yahoo.com, and website www.womenagainsttaboo.org. Last thing before we go, oh my God, I can't believe I almost forgot to say this. Okay, so Women Against Taboo is in the process of starting a pilot mental health sponsorship program. Mentorship program for, we're targeting adolescents right now, but could be a little younger than adolescents. We ain't picky. Anyone who really needs help. But we have a survey. It's on the website. It's on my Instagram. It's on the Women Against Taboo Instagram. If you are, or you know, people who are 19 years of age or younger in the greater Seattle area and have struggled for mental health illnesses, please have them fill out this study. It's going to help us so much with creating this program to make sure that it's effective for this target population and so that they really have a say in making this program. So it's something that they want to participate in and that's going to be helpful for them. Yeah, so if you know anyone younger, 19 years age or younger, please, 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 please give them, send them to that survey. I will also link the survey to this podcast description as well. Thank you guys so much. I know this was a long episode. I know it was a lot, but I think it's really useful information and a lot of people are going to benefit from it. You guys are the fucking best. Thank you so, so much. And yeah, guys. Okay, goodbye. It's everything sex.